This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Good morning to you and happy Easter season. I hope you're doing well and you're enjoying the holiday. Actually, today being the last day, hope you've found some time to reflect regarding the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what it means to you, and that this season has helped you grow and strengthen your relationship with the Lord. My name is Grace Mutiso. Always an honor to be with you on the Leadership Forum. This is the platform where we discuss all matters leaders and all matters followers. You want to grow as a leader, this is a platform for you. You want to learn a thing or two on how to be an excellent follower, because you are also a leader in your own capacity, this is the platform for you. And of course, we have great things lined up in store for you, and it's an honor to host you. As usual, our facilitator is already in the building, as young people would say, and we hope to have a great time as we learn together. My name is Grace Mutiso. Allow me to bring on board Bishop Dr. David Oginde, joining us on the Leadership Forum. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Yes. What's new in this Easter season for you specifically as Bishop Oginde?
Oh, wow.
Off guard.
Very off guard, that one. I have to think what is new.
But I've been saying reflecting.
I can't think of something that is unique during this Easter season. It has been a quiet, restful time. I enjoyed the presentations at church. That was very encouraging and building during Easter time. So I don't have anything that is, you know, outstanding. That I would say, wow, this is it.
Like this Easter, if you were to compare this Easter and last Easter, would you say there is anything that has stood out for you?
Nothing spectacular. But a new reflection. I've been reading the story of the journey of Jesus Christ to his death and resurrection, which is what we are going to talk about. So yes. Maybe I could share some thoughts during that time.
Okay.
And of course, every time you find this new idea. And as I was reading through, especially in the trial of Jesus Christ, amazingly how he did not seek to defend himself. And I compared that with what we had just read. I was doing a series of studies on Philippians at church.
Yes.
And in chapter 2, he talks about the attitude that Jesus had and how he humbled himself and became a servant and even unto death. And now when you come to the Gospels and see what that process really entailed, it came to me afresh that it was by choice, you know?
Yes.
This is not something that he was forced on him. He chose himself to submit himself to that cross, to submit himself to the torture, knowing that he had the power to deal with these people, and allowed himself to be crucified, you know, in spite of the pain that he later even cries out on the cross to the Lord, and why have you forsaken me? So it gave me that reflection of, to what extent am I myself willing to go not to the same length that he did, but to sacrifice on behalf of others.
Yeah.
In times when the general mood and attitude is me, I, and myself. You don't care what else is happening to every other person. So it was a greater reflection in terms of, what does this mean to me as a person in the various spaces that I find myself, and how, to what extent am I willing to therefore sacrifice on behalf of other people, even when it means that my own rights or my own desires are taken away in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is that fresh reflection of the cross of Christ and what Jesus went through and the humility that he demonstrated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Killing a lot of me, myself, and I to consider the other person.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Thank you, Bishop, for
that. Thank you.
We have an interesting one today, Bishop. last year, a time like this, we discussed leaders around the cross.
Yes.
Very reflective and just speaking the different perspectives from different leaders and how they behaved and lessons that we picked. So this time, why won't we talk about followers? Because leaders, they have followers. So our topic for today is followers around the cross. And we're inviting you to be part of our discussion this day. By the way, our WhatsApp line is open. That is 0717-400-555. 0717-400-555. You can also talk to us on 20933. That is our SMS line. And we are live on Facebook and YouTube at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya. Yes, all those platforms are there for you to talk to us today as we focus on followers around the cross. So get your notebook ready and interact with us. If you feel you've been pricked, let us know so that we learn together. Karibu Bishop, I'm really looking forward to this topic on followers around the cross.
Right.
Yes, so where do we begin?
A very good, maybe what you haven't said is that you're the one who came up with this idea.
Bishop, you're shouting. You shouldn't shout.
I'm not shouting.
I'm humbling myself.
I'm also humbling myself so that people don't say, wow, that is profound. How did you even come up with that idea? This was Grace's idea. Why don't we discuss followers around the cross? And just what I've just mentioned, it forced me to go back to the scriptures and try to look at the various people who we could consider followers of Jesus Christ, and how they behaved around the cross, around the suffering of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How did they conduct themselves? And a very interesting study, I must say, that gave me a lot of reflection into followership. We rarely talk about followership. We talk about leadership. But followership is also just as important as leadership, because there can be no leaders without followers. John Maxwell says, if you say you're a leader and there's no one following, then you're just taking a walk, you know. So followers around the cross. And we'll be looking at those who stayed,
yes,
those who strayed, and those who stood. Let me put it from a leadership perspective.
Yes.
How we are going to be looking at this. Every once in a while, a great leader who has been very successful in their context and who people admire, people appreciate, and so on. It could be within an organizational setup or otherwise. You find this person who is extremely successful and everybody wants to identify with them. When you are a successful leader, everybody wants to identify with you.
Yes.
Everybody wants to hang around you. When they introduce themselves, oh, I work with him, or I know him.
I met him yesterday.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because of the success, the greatness, the name, the fame that you have around you as a leader. So everyone wants to identify with you in those moments. But every so often, a person of that kind of caliber, a leader of that kind of stature, gets into trouble.
Yes.
And suddenly he is in that space where he is in serious trouble, maybe have been accused of some evils, whether true or false, and it is no longer nice to be identified with the person. How do then you as a follower behave in that situation? How do you, as a follower, introduce yourself?
Yes.
Do you are you still proud to say, oh, by the way, so-and-so is in trouble, but I know him. We are good friends,
yes.
And, you know, so on. How many followers would still identify themselves with a leader who has either fallen, got into trouble, being accused of wrongdoing, evils, and so on? How do different members of their team conduct themselves?
Yes.
That's what we want to talk about today, so that we put it in that perspective.
Yes.
When a leader is in trouble, how do the followers conduct themselves? That is the followers around the cross.
Okay.
Yeah, because Jesus was that very famous, very popular, had followers, crowds that came round him everywhere he went. The Bible says people were thronging him. You remember, like this time when there was this woman who wanted to touch the hem of his garment, and she was trying to push her way through. And when she touched Jesus, Jesus said, "Hey, somebody has touched me." And the disciple was like,
"Oh, it's a crowd.
I mean, such a big crowd that is pushing in on you. How can you even say somebody touch? Everybody is touching you."
Yes.
Yeah. So it gives you that picture that wherever he was, there was always this huge crowd that was around him. He was that kind of popular leader that people wanted to identify, people wanted to be around. But now the cross, the time of the cross, gives us a very interesting perspective to the various people who are crowding him and how they conducted themselves in this time when now the leader is in trouble.
Wow.
The leader's got into trouble. And that can happen in any context of leadership.
Yes.
It could be in your little chama, the very popular chairman.
Yeah.
Is being
or chairlady.
Or chairlady. He's being accused of one or two things.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
How do you people who have been worshipping, in quote, this leader and just saying, oh, you don't know our chama leader.
Yeah.
She is just awesome. She is so insightful. She is so, you know, she's made us really to succeed.
Yes.
Now that same leader is in trouble.
What do you do?
What about in the political arena?
Oh, yeah.
What about in national issues?
Yes.
What about in an organizational setup? How do you conduct yourself, or how do people conduct themselves around a leader who is in trouble?
Looking forward to that, because in the national setup, I think there is something happening. I don't want to go into it. There are some leaders who are in trouble. We saw over the weekend. Unfortunately, also in some churches, there are some leaders who are allegedly in trouble. You know, all of them, like in different spaces, to something.
Yes.
So looking forward to all of us learning today, how should we behave as followers?
Right.
Okay.
Good. So there's a verse in the Bible, in Luke chapter 23, verse number 49. The Bible says, but all those who knew him, maybe you can read it for us.
Yes.
I can see you have a Bible at hand.
you see, we are told you must be ready in season and out of season.
Out of season, yes.
Oh, yes.
Luke.
So, Luke 23. Luke chapter
23.
Verses 49. Okay. Luke 23, verse 49, the Bible says, but all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Where? Including women. Where are the men? Okay, jokes.
Okay. Including, which means
women.
The others were men.
Yes.
But including women.
Women.
But read it again, and let's just...
Slowly.
What is Luke saying in this particular verse? I don't want to preach, but there's something I would like us to pick out of that.
Okay. Slowly now.
Yes.
Reading with the toothpick. Luke 23, verse 49. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.
Now, I would like us to note, you know, when I come from my background,
yes,
as a younger Christian, was from the Voice of Salvation and Healing Church. Vosh.
Okay. Oh, I had my own thing. Sorry.
That's my home church.
Vosh.
That's my home church. Vosh. And I've just remembered how we used to preach. You know, we still preach the same way. So read me that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go.
Okay. But all. Pause.
Yes. All. The verse says all.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that there are all these people who were part of his followership.
Yeah.
They were there.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Continue. What else?
Those who knew him.
Those who knew him.
Mm.
In other words, these were no strangers
Mm-mm.
to him.
Mm-mm.
These were people who knew him. So they know this is Jesus.
Yes.
The one that they have been following, the one that has been trusting in, the one that have looked up to, the one has done so many things. They knew him.
Mm.
If you leave the women alone but just continue, even the women.
Including the women
mm-hmm.
who had followed him from Galilee.
Yes. Go ahead.
Stood at a distance.
I want us to note that.
Kumbali!
These are people who have known Jesus.
Yeah.
These are people who have walked with Jesus, who have followed Jesus, who have benefited possibly from Jesus. So they are not strangers.
No.
They know him.
Mm.
But now where are they standing when he's in trouble?
From a distance.
They were at a distance.
Yeah.
And I think this is a leadership principle that sometimes we fail to see.
Mm.
When we are doing well, people push in. Everybody wants a piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they,
mm-hmm.
they want to be as close as possible.
Yeah.
When you go into a function, you go into a meeting, you go into a service, you go anywhere, everybody wants to greet you.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be seen to know you.
And take a photo. You know, in the generation
photos. Take a selfie.
To upload.
And so on.
Yeah.
Now, when the leader gets into problem, where are they?
Let's read the word. Stood at a distance.
They stand at a distance. This something sometimes really surprises leaders. Where are all those people who were with me,
yeah.
who loved me, who cared about me? Now that I've got myself into trouble, they are nowhere.
The phone is not ringing. No messages.
Nobody's calling you to even say, oh, I'm sorry, this happened to you.
Mm.
Or what is this I'm hearing? You know, nobody. They are at a distance. Nobody wants to identify with you as a leader. And I've seen many leaders who get so affected by this reality that you all along thought that you're people loved you. You all along thought they cared about you. You thought that the world would come to a standstill if you were in trouble because everybody would just be coming to you.
Yeah.
And then you find people are standing at
a distance.
At a distance. They are not coming to you.
Mm.
And these are no strangers. That's why I wanted us to see that these people knew him.
Mm.
So these are people who knew him. They were standing at a distance.
Yeah.
When the leader is
in trouble.
Now, the last part of that verse.
Mm. Watching these things.
So they are standing at a distance. What are they doing? They are watching these things. In other words, they are evaluating how things are going so that they can know what to do.
Yeah.
They are assessing the situation, but not near you.
Mm-mm.
They're assessing the situation from a distance.
Yeah.
From a distance. And this is a very interesting aspect of followership. very interesting aspect of followership. And for us who are leaders, before we talk about those of us who are followers, for us who are leaders, I think these are truth that we should write in our hearts. That not everybody who is pressing in on you when you are doing well will press in on you when you're in trouble.
Repeat that slowly so that all leaders can hear. You know, because when you say it affects the my expectation as a leader is surely you've been with me, we've done a lot. When I'm in trouble, you run away, I'm all alone. But
you're
why?
All alone. So the fact and reality that all of us as leaders, particularly those of us who have been successful, must remember that not everybody who is pressing in when you are doing well will press in when you are in trouble. That is a truth that as I was reading this, just came to me so powerfully. Because all these people who knew him stood at a distance. Just evaluating the situation. Trying to see, where is this going? And you see, at that point, people, every person is deciding what they are going to do.
On their own.
On their own. They are deciding what they are going to do. And that for lays the context of what we are going to talk about.
Okay.
As we begin to evaluate different kinds of followers that were around Jesus, around the cross, and how they conducted themselves. Each person is evaluating, do I call this person? Is it safe to go and visit them? You know?
Yes.
Because suppose I'm found there.
And I'm asked to accompany them.
You know, those are the things that are going on in the minds of the followers. These people who have been your team members, who have been your supporters, who have been your admirers, who have been taking selfies. Do they want to take selfies at that point?
Or they'll pull the one you took down.
pull it down from their status. You know, because they don't want to be known.
I do not know him.
You do not want to be known that I know this person or have associated with this person. It is a fact and reality that faces every one of us as leaders.
Okay.
Popular today, tomorrow, you could find people standing at a distance, watching these things.
Before we go to the followers, I know you need to get to the followers. So, what should be the position of a leader? Because I'm just imagining with that powerful statement you've said, all those who are pressing in today, celebrating you, you know, wanting to associate with you, tomorrow, when you're in trouble, they'd want to run away. So what should be the position of a leader at all times? So as not to impact the way you still relate with all these followers who still want to associate with you.
Right.
But you find yourself just saying, hey, guys, just from a distance, please, from a distance. Let's just focus on work.
No. There's a verse, I can't remember it, the exact verse where it is now, but it says that Jesus never gave himself to the crowds. Another very powerful truth there, that even when people were celebrating him, admired him, said great things about him, he never submitted himself to the crowds, or as it were, he did not depend on the praises of people. He did what he knew is right to do, irrespective of what people thought. And I think that's the disposition that should be for every one of us. You can't stop people from doing what they want to do around you.
No.
But you can stop yourself from taking it in.
Yes.
So there will be people who will come and tell you wonderful things about you and how they just love you and how they just admire the way you do things and how and you could drink that in and it places you on a pedestal which is not yours.
True.
You know?
True.
There are also other people on the reverse who will say all negative things. Anything you do
it's wrong.
They will always find something to say. Why it is not right, why that was not. Even when you do very well, they'll say, maybe it's just because so-and-so helped them, or, you know. They will never acknowledge that you are a great leader or that you are doing a great thing.
Mm.
The same thing.
Yes.
Don't take it to heart.
Mm.
Be yourself and do what you know how to do and what you have been called to do to the best of your ability.
Okay.
That will save you from the pain that comes from when people stand at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And also the pain of those people who want to inflict injury.
They want to crucify you.
They want to crucify you.
Hey.
When you have done nothing.
Okay.
Yes. So, in my view, the best posture that a leader should have is do what you know how to do and you have been called to do to the best of your ability.
Okay.
When people appreciate, acknowledge, thank you, thank you very much, I appreciate. But you don't sell yourself to them.
Mm-mm.
Those who don't think that you are doing very well, you also thank them.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll see how to improve. We'll see what we can do.
Yes.
And move on and just be yourself. Do what you know how to do.
Mm.
Learn if there are any lessons to learn from either parties, but don't take it too hard.
A statement that comes to mind is that politician who said, weka siasa kwa lungs. So our leaders have to do the same.
It is.
Just
it
breathe.
Is true. Just
it
goes. Let it go.
You guard your heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I that to me sets the context of what we want to talk about.
Okay.
Leaders, followers.
Around
the cross. Now, the cross story... I want to start with what is called the Holy Week.
Yes.
The Holy Week starts with Jesus coming into Jerusalem.
Mm.
It is the previous Sunday. And he is coming into Jerusalem and everybody is excited.
Mm.
It's a homecoming. And... people are singing Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They are removing their clothes. They are putting it down for him to, and his donkey to walk on. They are, you know, they're just making all kinds of sacrifices. And this crowd is really excited at the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem. And that's where we want to start with this crowd. Because... It reflects a followership, because these are now people who believed in Jesus and in his greatness. I want to call it a fickle followership. Fickle followership.
Yes.
These are people who, when they see the great things happening, when they you come in as a new leader and they see the transformation that you are bringing in, the great ideas that you are bringing in, these people will sing your praises. We are just so excited. This place was terrible before you came in. and we just appreciate the contribution that you are making and it's just a Hosanna in the highest.
Oh, yes.
Anything you say, madam,
we do.
We will do.
Yes.
Yeah. If you need any help, I'm with you. You can count on me.
Yes.
Because they have this anticipation that there are great times ahead.
Yes.
This organization is moving to in the right trajectory.
Mm.
And so they want to associate with that success. They want to associate with that potential.
Yes.
They want to associate with good things that are to come. Hopefully, they are hoping that they will get a space in these good things that are coming. So they will sing your praises. They will sing Hosanna in the highest.
Yes.
They will remove their clothes and put them on the floor. You can walk on it, you know, anything you want. Is there anything I can help you with?
Yes.
And you really feel like you have arrived.
Yes.
This is a great place, you know.
Mm.
And as a leader, you may imagine that people are really with you.
Mm.
But we do know that this same crowd, when now Jesus is arrested, just 5 days later, they are the same ones who now are saying, crucify him.
Mm.
You know,
yes.
They have changed.
Completely.
They have completely changed.
Yeah.
Why? Because now the leader is in trouble.
Mm.
He is not as good as we thought. Kumbe, this guy was fake, you know.
Yeah.
He really looked good.
Mm.
But it was not the person we thought. So get rid of him.
Mm.
Get rid of him. So now this, you are being terminated prematurely.
Mm.
You are being demoted prematurely. You are being removed from the place prematurely. And
yes.
There are allegations as to what you may have done or what you have said and why you are not the right kind of person. And they are like, yeah, get rid of him.
Mm.
Yeah, get rid of her. And you wonder, these are the people who just 5 days ago were so excited about my coming.
Yes.
And now, 5 days later, they are like, crucify him.
Yeah.
It can really put you in a great shock. With this kind of people. The fickle followers have no conviction.
What do they have?
What they have is what would I call it? The word is just disappearing. Opportunists. These are opportunists. These are people who they see opportunity.
Mm.
Because if you, from a theological perspective, what these people expected is that Jesus was going to set up a kingdom and was going to deliver them from the Romans that had oppressed them for a very long time.
Mm.
So the reason that they were celebrating him is that they were finally going to find salvation from Jesus as the Messiah.
So they had an agenda.
They had an agenda. They just thought the opportunity has arrived.
Yeah.
So now when it turns out that this guy is not what we expected, they turn around and say, no, crucify him. We have nothing to do with him. Yeah.
Ah.
This is not the guy we expected. We thought he is going to set up a kingdom.
Mm.
Now he's even being led and he cannot even defend himself. How can he defend us if he can't defend himself?
Mm.
So they just get rid of him. So these are opportunists. And it happens, by the way, if you are newly elected or appointed into office, whether you have been a member of the team and now you're promoted to be the leader of the team, people expect that there's something that is going to happen.
Something new.
Something new.
Big
that you are going to bring. If you are a new outsider, again, people think that this is the opportunity. There will be those people who come, they tell you stories, they want to be close to you, they want to tell you how wonderful you are and so on. Why? They are expecting that when your kingdom comes,
you will remember them.
You will remember them.
Yeah.
So when they realize, hey, nothing is happening,
then
these are the same people who will crucify you.
These are dangerous.
Because the opportunities that they had hoped for are no longer showing.
Yeah.
And therefore, they will quickly crucify you.
Mm.
It happens and leaders really need to be very careful about these people, especially if you are a new leader in a new place.
Okay.
You must be very careful about this voice of the crowd. They will celebrate you.
Mm.
They will lay their clothes before you.
Mm.
They will say anything you want, madam. We will do it, you know, just count on me.
Mm.
I've been here for a long time. I know how things work.
Mm-hmm.
I would be willing to assist in any way.
Yes.
And you just think, wow, this is a nice place to be in.
Mm.
This is a great space to be in. Wait until things start going wrong.
Crucify
you. Where did they get this guy from? For me, even the way she came in, I just thought, we are not going anywhere. You get very shocked.
Question.
Yes.
you've emphasized again and again, especially for new leaders, be it internal or external. And on this platform, Bishop, you've said for any new leader, it's critical you meet, you hear the ground, what the ground is saying, maybe have those one-on-one meetings.
Right.
So how are you able to distinguish between this is a fickle follower and this is genuine feedback that would help me put the right foundation as I take leadership, you know, of this organization or institution?
Yeah. That's not always easy, but you have pointed out correctly that one of the ways, meet people one-on-one. Meet critical people one-on-one. Because one-on-one, people are more real than when they're in a crowd.
Mm.
In a crowd, people can say anything, can do anything. But when you meet with people at one-on-one, then you can ask relevant questions. Even that person who comes to your office and is like, Madam, I just came to say welcome to our organization. We really do appreciate your coming. We have heard about you. And, I appreciate what you're likely to do and so on. And they are laying their clothes on there.
The floor, for your donkeys for you to walk.
To walk.
Yeah.
Listen to what they are not saying.
Uh-huh.
Yes, this is which we call discernment in leadership.
Mm.
Leadership discernment is not just a Christian word.
Mm.
Discernment is your ability to hear what people are not saying.
Mm.
And in that, that comes about by asking relevant questions. So how are, who are you? What do you do? How did you come into this place? What is your perspective about the organization? When you look at where we are, what are some of the things, you know, you ask relevant questions.
Yes.
And this will help you to know what kind of person you are dealing with.
Mm.
Listen carefully to what they say about the former leader.
Mm.
Those are good indicators.
Yes.
If everything they are saying is just negative about the former leader, that is a red flag. Because what they are saying about the former leader, they will quickly say about you.
True. Crucify Zaid.
Crucify him. We have been in trouble in this place. Yes. The leader may actually have been a bad person.
Yes.
And you know it.
Yes.
Never buy into those people.
Mm.
Also, the opposite is true.
Yes.
If all they are saying is how this place is great, our former leader helped us to do this and this and this, and we are hoping that you will pick up from where they left.
Pressure.
just also, that those are red flags that you need to pick.
Yes.
So listen, discern, and then know how to move.
Okay.
But don't buy into them.
Mm.
Yeah. So that when they now... the same person is the one in the crowd there saying, I don't know, you get rid of her.
Mm.
Then you don't feel shocked.
Mm.
You don't feel shocked.
Okay.
Because many times the crowd, this crowd here, are opportunists.
Mm.
They are looking for an opportunity for you to assist them. So the voice of the crowd is, I know that, how does that saying go?
Which one?
The voice of the people is the voice of God. That is, can never be so wrong. The voice of the people
is not the voice.
It's rarely. Mm. Sometimes it is, but it's rarely the voice of God.
Mm.
Yeah. The voice of the crowd usually is not the voice of God.
Mm.
And it is shown so many times in scriptures, particularly.
Yes.
Mm. So be careful about the crowd. A leader must resist crowd-driven decision-making.
Mm.
Don't make decision on the basis of these crowds. By the way, sometimes they come in crowds.
Mm.
You know?
How would that look like?
A group from maybe a department.
A delegation.
A delegation comes to you, five, six people, 10 people, depending on how big the organization is, and they make an appointment and say, and come to your office and say, we just came to say welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and we are just happy to have you. It feels nice and it is good, and I'm not saying you should not welcome that, but listen to them and make a decision to yourself how you're going to move.
Yes.
Because sometimes this is a faction within the organization that either may have been very supportive of the previous leader or against, and they begin to tell you things, and usually they tell it so nicely because you are, especially if you are from outside, because you don't know the organization, so they tell you what this done and so and this and that, and you could easily buy into it, and now you begin to do things according to what they have told you, according to the information they have given you. You begin to suspect people. Be careful about so and so. If you really want to succeed, be careful about so and so. And because they are in a crowd, we are telling you, we have been here.
We know
how these things work.
We've worked with them longer.
If I were you, I would be careful. Now my advice to you as a leader is, those are the people you should be careful about.
Fickle followers.
These fickle followers, because they turn around so quickly. And they are the ones who crucify you in the earliest possible.
Wow.
So, build your leadership on principle, not on pressure.
Okay.
Because these people appeal to your emotions and to your desires, level three needs, according to Maslow's.
Yes.
Esteem. That's where they appeal. And you find Jesus, by the way, on that same day, I think that's part of the reason maybe they turned around him. That same day, he went to the temple and was whipping people.
Kabisa.
There's a guy we are not waiting for. He's spoiling our business. He's demolishing Gikomba. No.
Oh, my. That's not funny, but oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. They will crucify you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's pause here. We are discussing followers around the cross, and it's a joy to have you tuned in. And also, this is the hour we'll be sampling some of your questions and comments related to the topic of today. You can talk to us on our WhatsApp line 0717 400 555. That is 0717 400 555. You can also SMS us on 20933. I'm hosting Bishop Dr. David Oginde, who joins us every alternate Monday on the Leadership Forum. Bishop, welcome back.
Thank you.
Sorry, I missed you on that. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So before we went on a break, we stopped at the fickle follower.
Yes.
Who are opportunists.
Usually, yes.
And we say, as a leader, discernment is key. And also, as a leader, you need to build your leadership on principles, not on crowds. Yes.
I can see you are good.
You're trying.
You're a good learner.
Yes.
And while we are on break, my good wife reminded me of the verse that I was not remembering.
Hey.
It's in John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Maybe you want to read for us.
Let me get my Bible.
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay. John chapter 2. Okay. There is behind here. John chapter 2, verses 24. And 25. Okay. Here we go. John chapter.
In fact, you can start from verse 23.
Verse 23. Good. So, John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. Verse 24. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Boy,
So these people are celebrating the miracles. You know, chapter 2, of course, is about the first miracle that Jesus did, and now he's done other miracles, and the crowd is happy.
Yes.
And the Bible says Jesus, in King James, he said he did not entrust himself to them. He did not entrust. In other words, he did not take it to heart.
Yes.
Those great celebrations of the things I've done. And that's what I was saying, that as a leader, you be very careful about these delegations that come to your office and these people who are just so excited about the work that you are doing and looking forward, and they are willing to lay down their clothes and all so that you could ride on it like Jesus on that day of triumphal entry.
Yes.
Jesus did not entrust himself to crowds because he knew that this can be very fickle. Yes.
Okay.
So that's the verse we're talking about. So let's move to another person, another category of followers. I'll call this the transactional followers. The transactional followers. They are represented around the followers around the cross by one man, Judas. Judas Iscariot.
Yes.
A lot has been said about Judas, but when we analyze what the Bible says and records about Judas and what Jesus himself says about Judas, is that he was a very transactional follower. Transactional in the sense that whatever he was doing, the role he was playing, the closeness and proximity he had with Jesus were all for personal gain. Is what he could get out of it.
Yes.
So when the Jesus begins to talk about he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to die, and he sees like this thing is collapsing. So before the enterprise collapses, I'm going to get where I can and I'm shipping out. Yeah, so these are not people who will die with you. These are people who will, they will get what they can while they can, and they will ship out. So when they see the leader getting into trouble, instead of standing with you, supporting you, and providing any opportunity they can to help you, they will look for, what can I get out of this before this guy disappears? Those are transactional followers.
Yeah.
They, their loyalty, their closeness, and all that is has to do with what they can do. And the Bible says that, actually, it's Jesus himself who says that he used to dip his hands into the coffers. So really, this guy is not in the organization for the sake of the organization. He's in the organization for his own benefit. These are the looters of our economy. These are the corrupt in our system. If now I go to my other job.
Yes.
They don't get into positions of leadership for what they can contribute to society or what they can contribute to the organization.
Yes.
They are there for what they can get. And they will take every opportunity to get whatever they can get out of the organization. On the other hand, the Bible tells us on that night that Jesus was betrayed, Judas was sitting right next to Jesus. In fact, they were eating from the same bowl.
Yes.
That's how close. They
very
were.
Very tight.
Very tight. You know?
Bestie.
So these people will be very tight. But it is not for your sake. It is not for the organization's sake. It is for what they can get. So anything you say, madam, I'll do it. Anything you know you want, send some. Yes, madam, you can trust in me. But all this time, it is what am I going to get out of it? And they will keep getting as much as they can get opportunities. When opportunities arise, they come to your office. They are looking for how they can get that opportunity. They hear there's a scholarship that is coming up. They're already there. They are trying to convince you why they are the ones who should get this scholarship.
Mm.
And everything is about them and what they can get. That is when things are still okay.
Yeah.
When things look like they are going south, they will jump ship fast. These are the people who will jump ship fast. The moment they see like, yeah, these things are not going right, the organization is going down, they will resign their job. They will tell you, I feel my time here is over. And they want, as they go, they want to get as much as they possibly can get.
Mm.
They want their pension, they want their gratuity or whatever, all benefits. They will calculate and tell you, I've worked here for so many years, my leave days that are outstanding. And they will get as much as they can so that they leave before the organization collapses or they leave before the leader is in trouble. They are transactional. Their heart is not in the organization. Their heart is not with you as the leader. They will take the slightest opportunity to gain.
Mm.
So if anybody should come and say, oh, we are looking for this guy, we will give you so much if you can give us this, they will sell the information.
To get the money.
To get the money, yeah. They will sell the information. You know, we are doing research. We are doing an investigation.
Mm.
Is there anything that you know? Yeah, I think I can get you some document.
But how much?
But it, you know, to get these things is so difficult. You know, so if you can give something small to facilitate the process. And they will get that money and sell the organization.
Mm.
Sell the leader. These are transactional followers.
Mm.
Their heart is not with you.
Mm.
Their heart is not with the organization.
Mm.
They are not there for the benefit of the organization.
Mm.
They are there for their own benefit.
Mm.
Remember Judas?
Yes.
When there was this situation where somebody, a lady came in and was giving this, he was the first one to say, that's a waste of oil. I mean,
that old perfume. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Yeah, we could sell this and give to the poor.
Mm.
Because they see benefit at every corner and they want to get it.
Mm.
When you have such people in your team, you need to be very careful. People who are always looking for the slightest opportunity to benefit from the organization.
Mm.
I find it difficult to work with such people.
Mm.
You know, I hear there's this training. Is it possible for me to go? I hear there's this, you know, I have not gone, I've never been to this kind of seminar before. Could I be sponsored to go?
Mm.
I just see the transactional followers.
Mm.
Their heart is not for benefiting the organization. Their heart is for benefiting themselves.
Mm.
And there is no reason why such a person will not put their hands into the coffers.
Mm.
And there's no reason why these people cannot sell the organization if an opportunity arises. And this is where Judas found himself. Because when these leaders were looking for Jesus, he offered. He said, I can get him for you.
Mm. I know where he is.
I know where he is. Mm. I can get it for you, get him for you. And for, you know, thieves and robbers. It's amazing.
Mm.
But he was paid the money and he took it. These are the same people, unfortunately, I must say, are there in our organization, but more so in our government. Men and women who are many of them, in very high positions of leadership, but their only reason for being there is to benefit themselves.
Not the people they're serving.
Not the organization they're serving, not the public, not their government. Not the nation, they are looking for what they can get out of this. and they are stealing billions of our shillings, of our resources.
Mm.
Billions. Because they never went there in the first place to serve.
Mm.
They went there for what they could get. So get as much as you can while it is possible. But they also are very clear that this thing might one day collapse.
Mm.
So where do they keep their money? Abroad. So that if Kenya collapses, you will be left, you and I will be left here in the chaos. Then they are very happy in Dubai somewhere, in UK somewhere, in the US somewhere, because they have already sent their money in advance to wait for them should this thing collapse.
That's sad.
These are transactional followers and they have to be found in any organization, almost every organization. Men and women who will give you minimum work for maximum pay. Minimum work for maximum pay.
They
say, hey, so what are we benefiting out of this?
Mm.
When you come up with a new idea, so how do we benefit out of this?
Mm.
You say, please, let's just do the work.
Yes.
No, this sounds like a lot of work.
Mm.
How? What are we going to get out of it?
Mm.
Is our salary going to be reviewed?
It's not in my JD.
It is not in my JD.
Mm-hmm.
Transactional followers. They are. If you've come across them, release them as quickly as you can from your system. Otherwise, they are going to get you down. Yes.
I'm just thinking Judas, the person, the disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, and the closeness he had with the Lord and bringing that in the context of an organization. It seems these people can be very, very close to the leader.
Oh, yes.
For them to be able to dip their hands.
Yes.
Very close. Why is it hard for the leader to not them?
Do that thing that we talked about in the previous section, discernment. Because these people, they talk nicely. How did Judas end up to be treasurer of the team?
Yeah.
We don't know how the election was done or selection was done.
Yeah.
But he must have presented himself as a most trustworthy person.
Yeah.
He must have presented himself like, I can do this thing. I don't know whether he was a tax collector before. We are not told.
Mm.
Maybe he will say, I have experience in this area of managing resources.
Yeah.
So they present themselves. Their CV may even be very good.
Mm.
Their past record of where they have worked and so on can be so good. So you can be deceived.
Yeah.
And they are usually deceptive. And the reason they are being very close to you, very deceptive, is that they are so close to you. They look very helpful. They look very insightful. They look like, you know, this is someone I can trust.
Then you put your guards down as
then
a leader.
Then you put your guards down. Oh. I have an experience of that.
Tell us.
No, I can't say it on air. I can't say it on air.
Okay.
No, it is not good.
Okay.
But there was this person that we worked with.
Yeah.
I told this person several times just how I appreciate their commitment.
And it was genuine.
It was genuine. I mean, I would see this person even in their difficulty.
Mm.
They went out of their way to still do the work. And I was like, wow, what kind of commitment?
Mm.
This is such an amazing thing. Mm. And when they were in trouble, we went out of our way to also help them. Because I just thought to myself, this guy is so sacrificial, he's given to the work and so on. Until later on, we found that he was siphoning money from the church. It was so bad.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I'm like, really?
So they have like two personalities.
They have two personalities.
People.
So one is to deceive you of how good they are. That's the proximity.
Yeah.
They are always with you. Should you have any difficulties, they offer solutions quickly.
Mm.
So they blind you, literally. They blind you so you are not able to see it.
Yeah.
Thank God for Jesus, because he was Jesus. He knew the heart of this
people. Yes, he knew.
He knew. Yeah. But for the rest of us, sometimes you are so deceived,
yeah,
and you invest so much into this person only to find out later that this guy all along was never serious. He was never committed to the work that you're doing. And they have defrauded you. They have run away with you, you know.
Mm.
And you just wonder, how can a person do such
that,
a thing?
Yeah.
And still have a clear conscience.
Mm.
It is very deceptive. These guys are very deceptive. There's something we call in leadership circles, we call ingratiation.
Mm. What's that?
Ingratiation. Ingratiation is when a person, particularly team members, followers, try to be so nice to a leader. They try to be helpful. They always talk nicely about you. They defend you. You know, when if somebody were to say anything about you, they will come and say, you know, so-and-so was saying this, and I told them. They can't say such a thing about you. So you feel like this is my defender, this is my supporter, this is my... It's called ingratiation.
Yes.
This ingratiation is because it is with an ulterior motive. The only reason that they want to be close to you is for what they can get, is what they can gain. They want that promotion. They want that job, that opportunity. So when you are thinking of people who you can give some favors here and there, naturally they come to mind, and you give them. And these people rise very quickly up the ladder because they know how to work with the leader.
But on the other side,
the agenda is Iscariot.
Oh my. Help leaders, Lord, help leaders.
I can think of another leader that I worked with again. And this person was so good and so nice, and we promoted them. And then when they got to where they wanted to be, one day they come and say, I feel my time here is up. I'm thinking like, what do you mean? Up where? When we have invested so much in you, where are you going? I just feel my time is over. And so later when I reflected, I realized this guy came in with a very specific aim, that he wants to build their CV. Once it gets to this level, then they exit. Yeah.
An agenda.
So I just looked at the whole sequence of the journey, and you can see it now very clearly that they were just positioning themselves so that when the next opportunity comes, it is them. When the next opportunity comes, it's them. When they got to where they wanted, they exit.
And at that point, as a leader, you believe this is the best person. I've seen them grow.
And they are doing the work.
Yes, they are doing the work. They'll take us to the next level.
Then you get them in a very critical position, and they're like, I feel my time is up.
The Lord has spoken.
The Lord is leading me otherwise. Yes, just feeling me. Bure kabisa.
Paul Bishop.
Bure kabisa.
We need some healing here. Pastor, where are you?
Yeah, when I think about it, I lose my appetite.
But it's the real feeling, Bishop, of every leader who's been in that place, that you've invested a lot in this person, you've seen them grow, you've worked together, and you believe on this specific role, this will be the person to help us forge forward.
Exactly.
Then they come and tell you, sorry.
Yeah, the Lord has spoken.
In less than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have built their CV. You can just see, amejenga hiyo CV vizuri, the next job they are getting. Wow.
And they put you as their referee.
No, they won't. Some of them do think you are naive. They just say, could I put you as my referee? Yeah.
No.
Could you give me a reference? I feel so bad.
On behalf of every leader who's been there, if you're feeling what Bishop is feeling, Paul Esana. May the Lord heal.
These are called transactional followers. Transactional followers. They are there for what they can get.
Yeah.
whether that is a position, whether that is a name, a title, even resources, whatever it is, but it is for themselves. It is not for the organization. It is not for you. They are doing it for themselves.
So they, it seems these followers don't even have emotions. They don't think about how awkward they'll leave you as the leader when they exit or after they have achieved what they've achieved.
Do they care? They do care about you.
They're selfish.
They don't care about you. They have never cared about you.
Oh, it's all about them. Okay.
Yeah, it is all about them. So they have never cared. So even if you are saying now, you know, our organization is such a place that is so critical, we really need your input and so on. Could you give us another 6 months? Could you give us another year? And they say, unfortunately, I really do understand. I do understand. But unfortunately, I just feel this is the time to leave. This is the time to leave. So they don't care.
That sounds familiar. Now I've remembered.
You have also remembered. You have remembered another Judas. They are around, by the way. They are around.
Yes.
Yeah. So they, if any of them is listening to us, please
stop it.
Yeah. Stop it. Just serve God according to what He has called you to do.
Yeah.
And when I say serve God, does not necessarily mean in church, wherever.
Yes.
By the way, these are people also in church. Mm. Now that I've talked about church,
tell
volunteers.
Us.
You know, they come and they say, I can help teach Sunday school, I can help do this, I can help do that, and they give you their CV of how they have done this and but they just want to rise up the ladder. Once they become the deacon, they have achieved, they are gone.
Deacon of a big church.
In a big church. Mm. Now it is in their CV.
Yes.
I was former deacon.
Or
former or this and former that, you know, women ministry leader and so on and so forth. But they have moved on with the next new preacher in town to build another new CV there.
Oh my. Judas.
Yes, Judas. Transactional completely.
Lord.
They are there for what they can get.
Mm.
Very sad.
Very sad.
And they, so the lesson there is, proximity is not always commitment. Yeah. So when you see people coming very close and really doing all kinds of things, I'm not saying that we should be suspicious of everybody, but be discerning.
Yes.
Be discerning so that you're not, you don't end up in the pain that some of us have gone through.
Discernment is very key.
Very key.
That comes up again and again for a leader. Discernment.
Yeah, so don't confuse presence with commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Closeness with commitment. They are two different things. There we are.
Okay.
Let's do maybe one more.
Yes.
Then there are the self-preserving followers. Self-preserving followers. The self-preserving followers are a very interesting lot. You could easily confuse them with Judas, but they are not. These are people who are actually loyal to the organization and loyal to the leader. But when there is trouble, they are thinking of, how do I survive this situation? So they will not die with you or for you.
Mm.
It's not that they don't love you,
nor
is it that they don't love the organization.
Mm.
It's just that I...
Are they the ones
I will not die, I will live to see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living.
Are they the ones who would say, Apa ikifika, where we are, everybody to carry their own cross?
Yes.
They don't run, but you carry your cross, I'll carry mine.
Yeah.
It's work that brought us
but
here.
But the good thing about the positive side about them is that they are actually loyal to you. They are loyal to the organization. It's just that they can't sacrifice for the organization or for you. If it comes to that, you carry your cross, I carry mine. So I'll find ways to survive because my children, my family, what do I do with them? Where I came to work here but not to die here. So if really things become very bad, they will jump ship and they will go into, would find another job. But it's not because they don't love the organization. It's not because they don't like the leader. It's just that, seriously, I need to live on to provide for my children. Yeah. So I'm not going to collapse with this organization. I'm not going to die with this organization. These leaders are self-preserving. That's where Peter finds himself. Peter is a very loyal follower. Peter is, he believes in the cause. He believes in the organization. He believes in the leader. But he will not die for the leader. And he will not die for the organization. He'll find ways to survive.
Yes.
So, he is very passionate and will do anything to protect the organization and do anything to preserve the leader. But if things get to the place where now his life is in danger, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. So Peter is that kind of follower. He is not Judas. He will not betray you. But he will not die for you. He will preserve himself.
Yes.
He will live to see another day. So you find that trait of Peter, not just in the time that he... actually, it shows itself in several places.
Yes.
When Jesus says he's going to Jerusalem to die, he rebukes Jesus. He says, no, die what? What are you talking about?
Yes.
We are put our stakes here. You're not going to die. And he rebukes Peter, Jesus. You see it in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, he is like, no. They are not going to do this because it's like the organization is going to die.
Yes.
So we have to preserve.
Yes.
So he does what he can. Now, when he sees Jesus now has been taken in the, and he's now in the court, and he's one of those who is watching from a distance as the going on, the case is going on.
Yes.
When he's asked whether he's part of this, he's thinking to himself, no. No, I'm not going to. Let's let him carry his own cross.
Yes.
Yeah. So he denies Jesus in that way. But he's still loyal. So when he realizes what has happened, like when the cock crows after his third denial, he realizes how he has betrayed, how he has denied his master. And he's very remorseful about it.
Yes.
It shows you that he was actually a very loyal person. It's just that circumstances forced him to get into this situation in that self-preservative mode.
Yes.
Where he wants to survive. He wants to see another day. You see him again when Jesus is already crucified. He takes his bags and gets the next job. You know, he goes back to his former employer to take back his job and say, I'm back. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Where I went.
Yes.
It didn't work out. And he wants his job back. And it so shows you that he's a loyal person, but not ready to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And we have those kinds of followers. We have those kinds of team members. They are not Judas. They are not betraying you. They are not. They are not selfish, but they are self-preserving. They are self-preserving. You see, Peter still, even after the resurrection, he is an apostle now. He's not an ordinary person. He has been restored. He has been given the leadership of the church, but Peter still has difficulties with the issue of Gentiles and Jews. So when he finds himself among the Gentiles, he says, we are all equal. We are all together. We belong to Jesus. It's no problem. Mm. But when he goes to the Jews and they raise the issues of circumcision, he changes. Mm-mm. And he says, no, I agree with you. Circumcision is important. Why? Because he doesn't want to be rejected by his people.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be out of place. So this person is very self-preserving.
Mm.
And they can deny you in court. If they find that if I say this, I will not survive, they will say, me,
I don't know you.
I don't know. I was not there.
Me? No.
Those are the self-preserving followers. And sometimes you can get very confused about them.
I'm just imagining in a situation, Bishop, and in an organization, and a situation happens, and these self-preserving followers behave the way they will, and the situation is sorted, and we are back. We need to work together. What should a leader do?
Which is what happened for Peter. I think the if you follow the example of Jesus, Jesus could have lumped Peter in the same group with Judas.
Mm.
But Jesus knows that Peter is a loyalist. Peter is the kind of person who can provide leadership. He believes in the cause.
Mm.
That's why Jesus leaves him the ministry. Because he knows that this guy is committed.
Yeah.
And you can see after Pentecost, when he stands before the Sanhedrin, he tells them, you say what you wish, but we cannot stop doing what we have been called to do.
Yeah.
He was that committed to the cause. Mm. And by the way, these people, we sometimes can dismiss them too soon just because they told a lie here or there. and you dismiss them. And yet, they just require the right environment and they can take the work very far.
Yeah.
So how do you create an environment where this person, commitment, conviction, can be utilized for the growth of the work? That's what the leader needs to see. And how do you help put him in places where his life is not threatened, you know? Because they will not work in an environment where their lives are threatened or their future is threatened.
Mm.
They want a more stable environment. And what does Jesus do therefore? Jesus then puts Peter to be the apostle to the Jews. A safe environment, a familiar environment where he can serve among the known.
Yes.
He takes then Paul, who is a more aggressive, adventurous person, to then go out to the Gentiles, a more hostile environment. Because Paul is then able to adjust to different situations. You don't want to send Peter to open your new branch.
Oh, no.
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 The challenges and the threats and difficulties that go with pioneering work are not for the Peter kind of people.
Yeah.
They can easily deny you, especially if there's a very competitive environment.
Mm.
You don't want to send Peter there. You want to send Paul.
Yes.
Who is able to, knows how to interact with the various stakeholders, adjust and still sell his vision.
Yes.
And establish his work within unfamiliar territory and see it grow. Peter, if people come and say, no, this product, we don't like it, we'll not survive here. why are you coming into our territory? And they threaten, like, they are going to take you to court. He bolts out.
It's true.
That environment is very hostile. Yeah. He comes back to tell you, it's very hostile. I don't think we can make it there. Yeah, that's Peter, because he doesn't like his life threatened. So if any opposition comes up in this new branch,
yes,
he will come back to headquarters and tell you how he doesn't think that our product can do well there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very hostile environment. Yeah.
But in reality, they want to preserve themselves.
They just want to preserve themselves. Yeah. So put Peter in familiar territory where there are no significant threats, because the good positive side to it is that Peter is a committed loyalist.
Okay.
He's a committed loyalist. It's just how to survive in unfamiliar territory.
Okay. Oh my goodness. We have a few minutes to wrap up, Bishop.
Yes.
You want to tackle one more? We get to the questions.
Let's sample some of your feedback
that have come in. Good afternoon, Bishop and Grace. Please advise how you'd go about some two casual employees I've been leading. I have found out that they have been stealing from our employer huge monies. I'm so disappointed, given that I trusted the lady since she confessed Christ. Hey, what should she do? She's just discovered.
You've just discovered. I usually have very little sympathy with those kinds of people. Yeah. Talk with them, show them the evil they have done, but also look at the bigger context. There are people who will pinch, let me call that word. They are not stealing, but they will pinch something because they are under pressure, say financial pressure, wherever they are, and they just want a way out. So they are not thieves in the sense of their disposition, but circumstances force them to get into this situation where they picked something. That is like the child who is hungry and goes to the fridge and picks that which they had been told they should not pick. That's not a thief, as it were. So I will look at the circumstances. But there are these people who, like Judas, they just want to get something for themselves. If you keep that person on board, the next thing, they will sell the organization. Yeah. So for me, I would just say, maybe the Lord has another place for them.
In the wider ministry.
In the wider ministry.
Okay.
Yeah. But talk to them before they go. Okay. Advise them, counsel with them that this kind of behavior is going to ruin your career.
Okay.
It's going to ruin your progression. Because you cannot go far when you start stealing from your employer. You will not go far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should she let the employer know?
Yes, I think it should.
Okay.
Well, it depends on what kind of organization they're in. But I would counsel with them. If you are the supervisor, counsel with them. If you are just a colleague, yeah, it is not good.
Okay. Please ask the bishop, how can a leader lead without listening to those who elected him or her in office? Please also ask him to explain dictatorship leadership.
I don't understand the first question.
You have elected me in office, for example. So how should I lead without listening to you? And the second question, follow-up, dictatorship leadership. I don't know if it's okay to assume these people elected you in office and they are dictating how you should lead.
It depends on what dictating is. You know, elected is different from appointed. Elected implies that this is a setup where leaders are got into office through consensus, where people cast their votes and then the person comes in. Now, after this, now the people, these same people want to dictate how you should operate. What is very important in that kind of a setup? This is not an appointment, this is an election.
Yes.
Systems and structures are so critical. so that the person who has been elected into office is not being given instructions by the crowd. Because you are elected by a crowd. The crowd can never lead an organization. No. So the crowd, what the crowd needs to do is put in place guidelines on how the person they have elected will operate.
Okay.
Then the person who has been elected should operate according to those guidelines. Yes.
Okay.
So you must be faithful to the systems and structures that have been put in place.
Mm.
The guidelines, the policies, that is your guiding factor.
Okay.
And so you should not listen to the crowd on what they are saying, even though they are the ones who elected you. You should be faithful to the systems that have been put in place. Are you faithful to doing what they expected you to do?
Okay.
That is the question.
Yeah.
Are you faithful to following the rules and regulations, the policies that have been put in place? In those kinds of setup, you find that there are reporting structures. So that if you are elected into a place, there will be a time when you, whether it is through an AGM or whatever, where you give an account. And so you are able to then give an account. This is what I have done in the period that is there. That way, then there is a balance from both sides. But I would find it very difficult to provide leadership in a situation where you are getting instructions from the crowd. It becomes very tricky.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about transactional pastors and the mess they do to the ministry. Just like that. Peter is just saying.
Well, they're just
for
thinking.
Us to reflect.
Yeah, I think.
I wonder how that church is.
Yeah, they are transactional pastors. That is true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aya, what do you do when you realize you have a transactional spouse? Sometimes when a spouse is in their lowest moments is when you know your spouse.
Transactional spouse. That's very tricky because you see, when you are married.
Yeah.
And therefore, the what follows thereafter is to build a relationship that can help you grow together. So if you find find yourself in a situation where you have what you're calling a transactional spouse, I'm trying to see how that works out, where this person can only do, because if you are a transactional relationship, is I can only do this for you if you do this for me. Yeah.
Tit for tat.
Mm. You know, you give. No, it is more of. Tit for tat is usually revenge.
Okay.
This is more scratch my back.
I scratch yours.
So if you do good to me, then I'll also do good to you. If you do wrong to me, then I also don't. That is a very poor way of leading a marriage relationship.
Mm.
A marriage relationship, the Bible says, the two have become one. So you come with your 100% and you give your 100%. And that's why in church, if you're married through church, we take you through the vows, which is say that you are committed this for better
or for worse.
So it is not I give because the other person has given. Sometimes you hear argument, I've had arguments where the women say, if the husband loves me, it will be much easier for me to...
To
submit.
Yes.
And the men say, if my wife submits, I find it very easy to love.
Wow.
But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, love your wife. So
yes.
You love whether they submit or not.
Mm.
And they also says, submit your husband. You submit whether he loves you or not. So it is not a transactional relationship. It is, I give, it's sacrificial.
Yes.
I do what is within my ability to do to the extent that is practically possible.
Okay.
Yes.
We have a few seconds to pray, Bishop.
Let's do that.
Please.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for giving us opportunity to discuss the issues that we have discussed. And I pray for all those who have listened, and if there is anything that they would do about it, that the Lord they do. If we find ourselves to be some of these followers that we have talked about, that Lord, you'd help us where necessary to adjust in the way that we do things. If we are the ones who are leading such people, you give us wisdom, discernment to know how to handle the situation. But most of all, we also want to pray for any person who does not know you as Lord and Savior, because that's where the journey begins. I pray that you speak to us, and Lord, give us opportunity to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop. We look forward to hosting you again next week, but one. I hope we can continue with this one. It's very interesting.
Very interesting.
So, we
have a few more for
us. We have a few more. Woohoo! Next time we proceed on with that. Thank you. God bless you and have a beautiful remaining part of your Easter. Okay. That's all we had for you on the Leadership Forum today. Join us again next week, but one, as we proceed on this topic. Follow us around the cross. Hope you've learned a thing or two and you're going to take time just to reflect on who you are and who I am as a follower. My name is Grace Mutiso. Join us again next week for Meat of the Word. But remember to catch a repeat of this program right here at Hope FM on Saturday at 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and anytime at the Hope FM podcast. Bye-bye for now.